Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Growing Facts podcast. This is a podcast that translates the science behind fetal development and helps you filter out all the weird advice floating out there that isn't based on good evidence. My name is Shalaka Shah. I'm finishing my PhD in child psychology, and I'm studying the effects of prenatal stress on the development of the baby. I thought I'd share some of what I've come across with you, the listener. We want soon-to-be parents to be able to make informed choices and hopefully take some of the fear-based decision-making out of pregnancy. The tendency in pregnancy is to play it safe, and if we don't know, we try to avoid completely. It just seems like everyone has an opinion about what you should do about your own body and about your own pregnancy. So let's give you the scientific facts so that you can decide. Every other episode will be a science episode in which I'll tackle a specific question in an interview with a scientist in prenatal development. But luckily for me, I also have an old childhood friend, Dr. Allison Baker, who will join me in the second part of the episode to discuss what we've learned. She's a doctor specializing in internal medicine with a particular interest in obstetrical medicine. Conveniently, this information is also going to be really helpful to me because I'm going through the process of becoming pregnant through IVF, and I can already feel all the questions about pregnancy bubbling up in my head, and I had the idea of creating this podcast to share my experience and hopefully my future pregnancy from start to finish. Coincidentally, Allison is also pregnant, so that makes the two of us. Every other episode, she and I will discuss the ups and downs of our pregnancies and our progress, and maybe discuss listener questions or feedback that we get from our audience. So it is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Allison Baker, my podcast collaborator and co-host. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, Shalaka.
Thank you so much for agreeing to host this podcast with me. So I thought it would be a really great idea to talk about some of our professional interest in this, and then maybe you could tell our audience, what it is medically that you do and what is the difference between an obstetrician versus an internal specialist who's interested in obstetric medicine.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Internal medicine is a difficult specialty to explain. I'm pretty sure my sister can't explain what I do yet. Internal medicine is basically like a specialist for adults. So it's kind of like the pediatrician. He's a bit more specialized than your family doctor, but less specialized than a cardiologist. So I do the work. I do cardiology, I'm pneumology, I do lungs and liver, but I'm not the top tier specialist in those. And I have an interest in obstetric medicine, which means that I'm looking more at illnesses that occur during pregnancy that will affect primarily the mom, but that can also have an effect on the pregnancy. So my job is not to catch the baby when it comes out, but to make sure that mom stays healthy during the pregnancy. So it can be, for example, if mom has a chronic illness before pregnancy that has an impact. So that can be diabetes, or that can be inflammatory bowel disease or arthritis, or it can be specific diseases related to the pregnancy, such as gestational diabetes or preeclampsia or some other things that you can have during the pregnancy.
So that's really interesting. And I think it really taps into what we want to do with this podcast, because in discussing the science behind prenatal development and all those things, we really want to be tackling it with the lens of the maternal perspective, the person who is pregnant, like what they're experiencing, so that they can make the choices that are good for them. And the fact that they're not just walking incubators for babies, but whole human beings in their own right that are experiencing things and want to do what's best for the baby, but also what's best for themselves, right?
Right. And in internal medicine, we're a lot more focused on the mother. So that can have a different point of view. So when in very difficult pregnancies, often we'll have a multidisciplinary team, and you'll have the pediatrician's point of view, the obstetrician's point of view, and the internal medicine. And we kind of hash out what's the best thing right now for everybody in the scenario.
I also think that that's really important too, because we do want to have this sort of multidisciplinary way of looking at these things and making sure that we have different sources of knowledge and different sources of information. And also, and I'm going to speak from my perspective, you know, as a psychologist, that I really think it's important for both of us that we approach this conversation in this space without having any judgment about how people might be feeling about their pregnancies, about how we ourselves might be feeling about our own progress in our pregnancies. And in my case, in my IVF journey, in your case, you're already pregnant. We want to make it a space where we're able to discuss complicated feelings without having any judgment and without the expectation that, like, just because you want a baby doesn't mean that you feel great about being pregnant or that you're even happy about being pregnant, because you can want kids without necessarily being pumped about the idea of pregnancy.
Yeah, pregnancy can be something that's scary, and it's important not to cover over all the ugly parts. Like, there are some parts that are less fun, but it's important that that everybody knows what they're getting into.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that we're not papering over maybe some things that are less pleasant or some things that are just that we don't talk about as a society. I think that would be, it would be nice to have an open and honest space where people can hear these conversations.
Yeah, right. Do you want to explain what your thesis is about?
Very briefly, I can talk about it. My thesis is about the effect of prenatal stress that's experienced by the mother and how that influences the development of attachment in the baby, and also looking at how genetics plays a role in all of this. Not to get into too granular detail because it's a lot, but it basically looks at how the stress interacts with the genetics and how that interacts with parenting after the child is born, and then how that predicts attachment. So I'm looking at a bunch of different variables at a bunch of different time points, and I'm really proud of my thesis.
Well done. And we'll actually hear a lot about prenatal stress and development, because some of our first interviews are going to focus on that, right?
Yes, very much so, because this is my area of expertise in terms of my research. I definitely tapped into my research network. I tapped into colleagues, people who I've, you know, attended talks to or even collaborated with, who know a lot about this kind of stuff. So yeah, we're going to be talking about some stuff about prenatal stress and the effect that it can have, and also the effect that it can have in a positive way. I think it's really important to highlight that it's not always bad. And we want to add some nuance to the conversation, not to scare people into thinking that they need to have no stress levels at all, because that's not feasible. That's never going to happen.
Right. And the point of the podcast isn't to scare people. It's just to inform people, right?
That is correct. We want to take the fear out of pregnancy a little bit. We want to take the fear out of people feeling like they need to be perfect, that they absolutely need to experience pregnancy in a specific way in order for there to be good outcomes. That's really not the point of this. The point is to say, like, some things are important, some things are not important, and we're going to help people decide what are the important things.
Right. And I think that that's really important because, like you said earlier in the introduction, there are a lot of things about pregnancy that we don't know. And sometimes we've just always done things a certain way, so we've kept it that way. But it sometimes it's not based on real evidence. So we want to let you guys know what's actually based on fact and what's some things that we recommend, but we don't really know.
Yeah, because sometimes science is only like, has kind of answered a question, but not really. And I think it's very important for us to be aware that, like, yeah, okay, maybe there's some evidence to show something, but not enough for people to actually change things in their lives. In which case, we would say, well, don't change that yet, because it's not actually proven yet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Maybe, Allison, you can tell our audience where you're at in your own pregnancy.
Yeah, so today, I'm actually 16 weeks along, and I'm glad to share this with you guys because I have officially come out to the hospital, so everybody now knows. I basically stood up on a chair and told people I have something to announce, and then I showed them my belly, and I was like, guys, I'm pregnant. It was great. It was a lot of fun. And so now everybody in the hospital knows that I'm pregnant, because even people that weren't there were told. So today people have been congratulating me. It's very funny. So now,
it's official public news.
Yes, it is very official. Everybody knows about it. And one of the reasons why I told it at 16 weeks is because my belly was really showing. which was a bit of a surprise to me, but I guess I should have figured that out because I have a twin pregnancy, so obviously my belly is going to be bigger. I just didn't expect
it. Twins.
Yeah. So twins, 16 weeks. So twin pregnancies are a bit more complicated. So they're higher risk. So we want moms to be a bit less active. So I'm going to be cutting down on some of my hospital hours and doing less on-call work and doing more of the low-key kind of clinic work.
Okay. So you need to be taking it easy, basically.
Yeah. so, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a little bit hard for you as someone with usually a lot of energy who's not often sitting still. You're going to find that difficult.
Yes. I had a discussion with my gynecologist about horseback riding and show jumping, and she was like, okay, you have to stop now.
But was that based in scientific fact, or was it based off of fear of harming the baby?
Well, so I think there are no studies on horseback riding. So that's one of the things that we have to check. And we have to go basically with an analysis of the risk benefit. So when I learned that I was pregnant, I actually had this discussion with her. And she initially told me no trotting, which makes no sense. If you've ever been on a horse, it's like telling you you can walk or you can sprint, but you can't go jogging. So we had a discussion mm-hmm. about what I could do to mitigate risk. She was a bit worried because animals can react to the hormonal changes in pregnancy, and sometimes they can get aggressive. But turns out mm-hmm. that the horse that I use is so much sweeter now that I'm pregnant. So that's going really well. Mm-hmm. And basically you also don't want to fall. So up until this week, I've been doing my usual jumping with my coach. But this week she just looked at me and she was like, no, that's enough. Which, okay. Again, is not quite based in fact. Like, there are no studies, but obviously the further along the pregnancy you go, the less you want to risk a fall. So if you are a very experienced snowboarder, you might continue to go snowboarding for a while during your pregnancy. But you have to consider mm-hmm. that if you fall on your bum or on your belly, there's a risk for the baby. So we've basically, we've made a deal that I can still go horseback riding, but no more jumping. So
okay,
we're okay. Doing this, so this way progressively. Yes.
Yeah, and this way you're not immediately stripping something that you love to do, like something that you're passionate about from your life before you have to absolutely cut it out.
Right, because some of the things that sometimes as doctors we tend to forget is that we tend to not realize the impact it has on your mental health or on the rest of the environment. So we tend to focus on the medical and sometimes forget the rest of the things. And mm-hmm. horseback riding for me is like meditation. So it takes away my stress, it relaxes me, it's exercise. Those are all positive things for me. But so yeah. we're taking it away slowly.
Right. Well, I'm happy to hear that you still get to keep a little bit of that and that it keeps you happy.
Thank you. So, Shalaka, do you want to tell us a bit about what's going on with your IVF and what led you to make that choice?
Yes, I will. And I do think it's important to talk about this because, well, personally, I'm doing IVF. I'm about to start in the sense that I have been on estrogen pills for about 2 weeks now, and I'm about to start doing injections. And hopefully, fingers crossed, if everything goes well, sometime in a week and a half, they're going to be retrieving my eggs so that they can combine it with my husband's sperm and create embryos in a little petri dish. And then if one of those embryos is good, they're going to be reimplanting it back inside me so that I can be pregnant with this baby. And the reason we do this in our specific case, there's a lot of reasons to do IVF, and most people think of it as a fertility treatment issue, which is very common. But in our case, we actually are doing it because we have fairly major genetic disorder on one of our sides of the family that we want to ensure that our children don't inherit. And so we're going through the IVF process so that we can do the genetic testing and that we can have an embryo that is not a carrier for this gene. So that's why we're doing it. And I've never been pregnant before, either by IVF or by natural conception. So I'm pretty nervous about the process, but I'll be giving updates as and when things happen.
Yes.
And both the good and the bad, because of course this is a medical procedure that does not have 100% success rates. And I'm in some ways, I feel lucky because I don't have the fertility stuff, and the fertility stuff adds a big layer of like stress and additional medication and additional complications and uncertainties. And I don't have a lot of that, but I still am going through things that I've never gone through before. So it's going to be special.
Yeah, I know you're thrilled about the injections that are coming on.
Oh, God. I mean, as someone who has a phobia of needles, I'm just like, oh, my God. But you know what? I'm going to be a grown woman, and I'm going to do what I got to do, right?
Right. You can do it.
I can do it. If other people can do it, I can do it. I've received, you know, vaccinations of all sorts, and I've given blood many, many times. And so I should be able to take my IVF injections like a champ.
Absolutely. I have faith. So
thank you. Your faith means a lot to me.
Wonderful. Do you think there are specific biases that either you or I will be bringing to the podcast?
Yeah, I think that there definitely are. For one, you know, both of us come from the same place. We grew up in the same city, Quebec City in Canada. And I'm currently living in Montreal. You're currently living in Victoriaville, which is a couple of hours from Montreal. So we obviously operate within the same healthcare system that is the one that we have over here. And it's very different from some other healthcare systems, most notably in America, where healthcare is treated differently. It's private. So we have that perspective. And you, as a doctor who is treating patients inside that healthcare system, I think maybe the things that we recommend, the things that we say, the things that we do, really change depending on the social context. So I think that's definitely a huge bias. And then there's the fact that we're both,
and let me add to that. The other very important thing that we have that's different is maternity leave and the ability to take off time off if your pregnancy is at risk. So I think from what I understood from the States, that would be a lot harder. We're glad we're in Quebec. So go on with your other biases. Yeah.
We're let's just say that we're thankful to live in a country that has a socialized medicine. Obviously, you know, we're two people who very much come from a science-based approach. We are either have studied science or use science every day in our lives as part of our jobs. We're evidence-based. So that is a perspective. That being said, I think that we do embrace the fact that there's room for a lot of other different approaches and ways of healing. And especially, again, from the mental health perspective, like I often consider that there are things that science has not answered and cannot answer yet. And like, that's fine. I think that there's room for all of those things. We just want to be ensuring that whatever advice or recommendations we give doesn't contradict what science has shown us might be, say, something bad or something that we shouldn't do. So I think that's a bias that we have.
I think also the fact that we are older. So I'm 33 and you're 34, and these are pregnancies that are absolutely very much desired, may color a bit the way that we approach these pregnancies.
That's a really good point, because I mean, I don't know about you, I don't feel old at 34, but you know, like I've waited for a really specific time in my life to have this pregnancy, and I really want this pregnancy. And I think that definitely makes everything, it must change everything. I don't know what it's like to have an unwanted or be ambivalent about a pregnancy. That would be an extremely different experience, I think. And so probably the way that we talk about it is going to reflect the fact that we both really want kids.
Absolutely. The other thing that we should mention, I guess, is that we are both cis women. We're not part of the LGBTQ+ community, but we still want to be allies, even though we're not members. So we are going to make a specific commitment to try and be very inclusive. And a bit like you were saying, that we want to make this a safe space, and we want to make sure that we're not judging anything or anybody, and we want to make sure that everybody feels included in the podcast.
Yeah, that's an absolutely really great point because, again, we don't want to make assumptions about anyone's gender identity if they are carrying a baby. And I think increasingly also medical science is making some advances towards, for instance, being trans and being able to carry a child and, you know, hormone replacements and all those things. So, yeah, we want to keep an open mind and we want everyone to feel included in that conversation. Any other biases that you think we should discuss?
I think the fact that we are both, we both have careers that are very important to us might have an impact. So I know that I'm going to have a bit of a maternal leave, but I will want to go back to my career afterwards. So that might color a bit how we talk about this, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's interesting because we're sort of, because this is our first, this is your first viable pregnancy. This is hopefully going to be my first pregnancy ever. And so we don't actually know kind of what the flip side of any of these things are, but we assume they're going to be biases. And yeah, like you, like my career is so important to me. I'm just finishing my PhD. I'm going to be defending my dissertation in a few months. I'm starting in private practice. Like my career is like launching. And so I'm birthing my thesis at the same time as creating a human being, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like I worked so hard to get this PhD and it's super important to me to be able to continue in that work. And so balancing the demands of a new career also with the demands of being pregnant is, I think, going to be an interesting prospect for both of us. Your career is not new anymore. You've been working for a while, but you have a very demanding job. So I would think that that also factors in.
Yeah, I think so. I think where we are in our lives has a big impact on how we approach the pregnancy and how we feel towards it. So I'm lucky to have worked for 5 years, meaning that if I have to stop a bit earlier in my pregnancy and if I take a longer maternity leave, I'm still going to be more comfortable coming back than if it had been in my first year of practice.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I had some of that comfort zone, but I don't. I'm literally starting private practice next week. The same week that I'm going to be doing injections and hoping to become pregnant. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, but we'll all get through it.
Okay, so that basically covers it. I hope you guys have a better understanding of who Shalaka and I are and why we're doing the podcast and what you guys are going to be learning as you listen on. Thank you very much for tuning in today. If you do enjoy the podcast, please make sure that you rate and like it. Since we're a new podcast, this is really going to help with the algorithm to make us more visible. If you have questions or comments, or there are things that you would like us to talk about, we would really love to hear from you. So we're on Facebook and Instagram under the name Growing Facts Podcast, or you can email us at growingfactspodcast@gmail.com. In our first science interview, Shalaka is going to be interviewing Dr. Ashley Wozana, who's a child psychiatrist whose research is all about prenatal stress and how it impacts the baby. And we'll be answering the question, what is prenatal programming? Thank you guys again for tuning in and have a great day.
Bye, everyone.